Alrighty, kids, come on down the front. Yeah, waiting for that one, were you? All right, got a couple other kids. Any other kids?
I wish there was. I'm a tween.
Nah, you're a tween. Ah, okay. All right, cool. We've got a couple of kids. Excellent. All right, now, kids, who knows much about plants?
Me.
You know about plants? Good. Okay. Well, I'm going to help you with plants. Now, some of these plants that I've got here. Are really incredible plants, some of them not so good. Firstly, when you have plants, it's good to have pruning equipment. All right, so here's one of my favourite pruning pieces of equipment. That's a pretty good pruner. And then for more delicate work, you got these sort of pruners. And then for the really, really fine and delicate are these little snippers. All right, they're pretty cool. I'm not allowed to have a chainsaw, Angela. I've got a neighbour who's got one who I go and see very regularly. All right, now, some plants go really well, some plants not so well. I want to show you a plant that has a terrible sickness and disease. Can you see that plant? He's not looking so good, is he?
It looks like...
Yeah, it is a bit weird. Now, I'll give you the name of the sickness of this plant. You ready? Can you see? No, it's not. It's called a brom, a bromeliad. We just call them broms in Australia. Yes.
I think he needed a drink.
He could need a drink, although he's pretty wet. He's been out in the greenhouse getting better. Can you see at the end there? Can you see what's happened there? Now, this is a really rare thing that happens in some backyards. It's called... Dogus abitusis.
So you get it from a dog?
Yes.
Okay.
And the plant doesn't like Dogus abitusis, and it starts to complain a bit. But the next stage of that one, all right, is this one here. This one here.
That's perfect.
This is a Dogopulus adipotusis.
You made?
No, they're not made up words. All right. See this one? Oops, sorry. On cleanup duty. I'll put this one over here. A little bit of dirt coming out of that one. See that one? You may not be able to see it, but once upon a time, this was affected by a sickness called Cynthia tried to kill us.
Is it really what?
All right.
Yeah, is it? Tell us the rule.
So see, they're dead, aren't they? They're just no good. Yeah. I didn't kill it. And you can see some of the other ones on there, but you prune them off with the pruning. Do you think the plant goes, ow, when I do that? Do you think it goes, ah?
Oh, yeah.
You think it does? I don't know. I don't speak plant real well.
Yeah.
So, and this one was really, this is a really special plant. I won't bring it up because it's very dirty, but if you come and have a look, see here, can you see there? There's the stump. See the stump of the plant?
Got a stump.
Yeah, see that stump? You can see it? All right, back you go. Now this was, the problem with this one, are you ready for this name? This is the biggest name that I've got. This is Donny Aplantaris too closest to the Wallace.
Donald Stump?
No, not Donald Stump. Here you go. Now, this plant was... Granddad is very proud. Now, this plant was dead. All it had left was its stump. And... The plant that grows really high like this, it ended up in my fire pit, and it was nothing. But when I pulled it out, it had these really good, healthy roots. And I thought, I wonder if in this there could be life. And so I grabbed it, and I put it in this pot, and I gave it some fertilizer, some nice plant food. Hold on a sec. And then I put it into a nice spot, not against the wall where the heat was bound down on it. And look, I've not only just got one plant, I've got a baby one coming up and another one. So down the track, that one plant will give me how many plants? 3 for now. There might be more, but at the moment, for 3. All right, so that one's really good. Now, yes?
There's more life, there's ants on
it. Yes, yes. Yes, that's a good thing about gardening. You get to play with bugs as well. All right, now what about this plant?
Whoa.
Hey?
Holy
moly,
Christmas!
Yes! That's... Can I quote that one later? This plant...
Wait, let me guess. Is it called... the Dirty Bonato?
No. You can... This. Sorry, parents. The kids are going to speaking in Ustis as they go home. All right. Now, this plant, you can see that that's the root system. And that's the stem. All right. And it used to have another big one of these on the front of it. But it had grown so big and it had thrown out all these other pups, which is what these are, that it overtook the whole yard, the whole little part that it was in. And so my boss told me I had to fix it and pull that out and plant some other ones. And so we did all that. And then this one was not looking real good. It was like this. So not real good at all, okay? Yeah, no. And so I grabbed it and I just threw it back in the back of the garden, all right, and just let it sit there. And the other day when I was out cleaning it all up, lo and behold, the root system had sprouted all these. So even out of what thought was really dead and was just thrown in the back of the garden, out comes this brand new life. And you can see there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 coming through on that one. All right. It they're ready to be put into pots now and given. Now, yes, that won't go back in there too. Now, all of these, at one stage or another, looked like they were in trouble. This one, believe it or not, will be able to live again. We just need to look after it and care for it, and it'll come back because this one was that one's baby. Yesterday, I cut that one off there and put it into there, and that's the baby of that one, and so I know that we can get that one back to a nice, healthy stage as well. Although, dog puller outerus, I'm not sure how that one's going to go. Yeah, my dog loves my garden. He can't wait.
And he's like, you know what? We have to make it the dog garden.
Yeah. Now, the reason why I share with all this is today the adults are going to be talking a little bit about plants and the greenhouse and all that sort of stuff. But all these plants at one stage looked like they were gone, nothing left, but with a bit of love and care, no matter how damaged, how affected, how brutalized by the sun, we can bring life back into these things. And I believe God, no matter how we've lived our lives, no matter what's happened to us, no matter how many times we've been in trouble or been called names or had upsets, tummies or headaches, God can do a new work in each and every one of us. Amen? Let's pray. And then you'll head you off to children's ministry upstairs.
Yes.
All right, let's pray. Father God, thank you for these awesome young people. And thank you for them. I pray, Lord God, you would bless them this special day. For blessed are the children of Kiwanis Life, for they give us many good times. We pray this in Jesus' name. And everyone said?
Amen.
Amen. All right, off you go upstairs, guys. Have a good morning.
This is Luke chapter 24, starting at verse 32. They said to each other, "Didn't our hearts feel strangely warm as he talked with us on the road and explained the scriptures to us?" And within the hour they were on their way back to Jerusalem, where the 11 disciples and the other followers of Jesus were gathered. When they arrived, they were greeted with the report, "The Lord has really risen. He appeared to Peter." Then the two from Emmaus told their story of how Jesus appeared to them as they were walking along the road, and how they recognized him as he was breaking the bread. And just as they were telling about it, Jesus himself was suddenly standing there among them. He said, "Peace be with you." But the whole group was terribly frightened, thinking they were seeing a ghost. "Why are you frightened?" he asked. "Why do you doubt who I am? Look at my hands, look at my feet. You can see that it's really me. Touch me and make sure I'm not a ghost, because ghosts don't have bodies, as you see that I do." As he spoke, he held out his hands for them to see, and he showed them his feet. Still they stood there doubting, filled with joy and wonder. Then he asked them, "Do you have anything to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he ate it as they watched. Then he said, "When I was with you before, I told you everything about me by Moses, everything written about me by Moses and the prophets, and in the Psalms must all come true." Then he opened their minds to understand these many scriptures, and he said, "Yes, it was written long ago that the Messiah must suffer and die and rise again from the dead on the third day. With my authority, take this message of repentance to all the nations, beginning in Jerusalem. There is forgiveness of sins for all who turn to me. You are witnesses of all these things. And now I will send the Holy Spirit, just as my Father promised. But stay here in the city until the Holy Spirit comes and fills you with power from heaven." Then Jesus led them to Bethany, and lifting his hands to heaven, he blessed them. While he was blessing them, he left them and was taken up to heaven. They worshipped him, and then returned to Jerusalem filled with great joy. They spent all their time in the temple praising God.
Today is our last week in a series of looking at belong, believe, become. Today is about become. How do we become? Do we ever truly, really become all that we're meant to be in God? I think God's word would tell us that we don't. We continue to be always on a journey, learning, growing, understanding. I sat with a young man yesterday afternoon, and he said that he knows less about God after 20 years walking with God than he thought he knew when he first started. Does that make sense to anyone? Yeah. He's a big God, isn't he? And sometimes when we're younger, we know it all. I remember knowing it all at one stage. And now as I'm getting older, I realize how much I don't know at all. Let's pray, shall we? Father God, I pray that you would open your word. And may we truly want to be on a journey of becoming who you've called us to become. Enable us by the power of your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Isn't it amazing on this journey of becoming how God turns things around? Like sometimes you try to do something and then he turns it around the other way. Does anyone know what I mean by that? I'll give you an example. Yesterday I made a few phone calls and text messages to people. People I knew that were doing it tough or had some stuff happening in their lives. One of them was Brian. Now, he's up and down with his medication and how he's going through life health-wise. And so I rang him to see how he was, and I heard that Christine's not well as well. And Friday was not a good day for Brian, but Saturday was a good day. And so 10 minutes into my pastoral call visit to him, he turns it around and starts pastorally caring for me and speaking into my life and praying for me at the end of the phone call. Talk about a journey of becoming. I want a question for you. You ready? Are we on a journey of a lifetime, or is it a lifetime journey? Let me say that again. Are we on a journey of a lifetime, or is it a lifetime journey? Our Bible reading starts with a bit of a journey, doesn't it? We start with a number of guys walking from Jerusalem to Emmaus. Now these guys, I'll just get some pruning tools ready. These guys, are they having a good day? No. Jesus has just died and they're not sure what's going on. A few people have been to the tomb and they know what's going on, but these guys are probably left early in the morning to get on their walk. They have no clue about what's going on. So they're probably very sad. They're not having a good day. They probably feel a little bit bruised and damaged by the situation at hand. Some of their dreams, their vision, their focus of where they wanted to be going with this Jesus has all of a sudden come to an end in their understanding. So I don't think they're having a real good day. But Jesus comes along and he starts walking with them. Now I believe Jesus is walking with them for a purpose. He's not just doing this because on the first day of my resurrection, what do? You go for a 7-mile walk to Emmaus. That's what you do. He's walking there with a purpose. There's something he's doing that is important to him. And as he's going along, he shares with these men some things about himself. Let's pick up the reading at verse 32. They added to each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us?" Then they got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 and those with them assembled together and saying, "It is true, the Lord has risen and appeared to Simon." Then the two of them told them what had happened to them on the way to Emmaus and how they recognized Jesus when he broke the bread. So here it is, there's a purpose in this story. These guys have made it to Emmaus and then they've turned around and made it all the way back. I'm thinking these guys were fitter than me. I'd have been going, okay, I'll go back to Jerusalem tomorrow. It's another 7 mile run. So they get back in time and everything's happening back in Jerusalem. And they're talking about it. Could you imagine the buzz that's going on? Simon, Peter, Mary, these people have seen the resurrected Jesus. And these guys said, "We just spent a whole day walking with him onto Emmaus. And he opened the scriptures to us. And then he broke bread. And it was this amazing communion service. And he touched our hearts." There's a purpose about it, isn't there? An incredible purpose in what Jesus was doing with them. Then, in the middle of all this, something amazing else happens. It says, while they were still talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." They were startled and frightened, thinking that they'd seen a ghost. He said to them, "Why are you troubled? And why do you doubt have risen in your mind? Look at my hands and at my feet. It is I myself. Touch me and see. A ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you see I have." When he said this, he showed them his hands and feet, and while they still did not believe it because of the joy and amazement, he asked them, "Do you have something to eat?" They gave him a piece of boiled fish, and he took it and he ate it in their presence. And he said, "This is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms." Jesus appears. They're in this conversation. They're buzzing. And Jesus appears. They're in this upper room area. I'm reckoning the doors are all locked still because they're still worried about the soldiers looking for them. And they're all in amongst this discussion. And then all of a sudden, Jesus appears in the middle of the room. Boom. No wonder they think he's a ghost. No wonder they think something weird's going on here. And then Jesus says those amazing words. Has anyone ever heard Jesus say this to them in your heart? "Peace be with you." Have you ever heard that? Have you ever been in a situation where, bang, just God hit you with that and went, "Peace be still, I'm with you. You're not in this alone, brother, sister. I'm with you in this time." And here he is, he's in the middle of the room and bang, there he is. Do you think Jesus is doing a little bit of pruning with the disciples? Do you think he's helping them with their faith a little bit? And then he grabs a hold of the amazing bits of the scriptures and he gets in and he starts showing them the things that are needed to be shared and cutting away some of their fears about the future and cutting off some of the things of the past that they're holding on to. This is a brand new day for these disciples, a brand new day indeed. And there needs to be some changes in their understanding and in their thinking. Today, we get to meet in this building. Did anyone notice the sign at the front when you walk in? Has anyone over the last 12 years, when you walked into this building, noticed the sign at the front? What does it say, Trish? Does it say greenhouse? The greenhouse? Anyone more information? It says, "Welcome to the greenhouse." I know I'm being pedantic, but welcome to the greenhouse. Belong, believe, become. Now, did you ever think, why did they call it the greenhouse? Is there a scriptural reference and backing for this thing? Or is it just one of Donnie's brilliant ideas? It's green building. Sorry, hold on. Or is it because it's a green building? Yeah, I just checked my notes. I had that in there. All right? But let me tell you, there is more to this than meets the eye. Today is our partnership conference, and on this Sunday, we try to tie in a little bit about our history into the sermon, as well as make a point about what God's trying to teach us. Today, we meet in the greenhouse. How we arrived here was because it started with a pastor called John Pierce. He's the senior pastor at C3, which is over in Premier Court. They were in this building at that time. They'd outgrown this building and decided that God was calling them over to the place in Premier Court. And as John Pierce was praying, he asked God what to do with this building. And in his prayer time, he felt God say, offer it to the Baptists. So John Pierce rings Brian Willisdorf up. And John and Brian have a coffee together. And then the next time I'm there and we have a coffee together, and then we bring it to the leadership team back in those days, and we go, we want to ask the leadership team a question. Do you think it's a good thing for us to take over the lease in this building? And the leadership team, which Arthur was on at that time, led us in a time of prayer because we wanted to ask God whether this was a good idea or a God idea. And we went a step further and we stopped and we came and we asked the church whether it was a good idea or a God idea. And so for a month we prayed into whether we should move into the building here, corner of Main and Textile. We finally got to a point where we thought we would put it out to all the partners and the whole church, and we weren't, I don't think we were constituted at that stage. 2006 we became constituted. So it was just to the whole church, and we had a little flyer put together to raise some money. We needed $30,000 to step into the building, and that didn't count, include the chairs or the sound system or anything else. So moving into this building was an incredible cost for us, and we were a group of about 50 to 60 people at those days. On that given Sunday, we got together. Brian somehow, in his wisdom, allowed me to preach. And we had the pledge opportunity. And then Garth Shepherd counted it all up. And then he gave me a piece of paper. And I was able to share with the church that we had either received in cash or in pledge $32,000. So it was an amazing yes. This is a God idea. And so we stepped into this building. And one of the things you do when you step into a new building, there was a transition period between us and C3 moving out and us moving in, and we grabbed hold of all these plastic chairs. You think moving these chairs around are a nightmare? Well, when in those days, all C3's chairs went, and we had to grab two utes and go over to the school and grab all the plastic chairs and bring them over here and then set them up. And at the end of church, grab all the plastic chairs, put them on the utes and take them back to the school. This one's easier, although these chairs are heavier. So we did what you do as a church, right? When you move into a building, what do? You hold a prayer meeting. Working B, that can work too. Prayer meeting. On 31st of August 2005, we held a prayer meeting. And at this prayer meeting, there were 23 people in attendance. It was a prayer night. I have the agenda and how we set it all out and everything. What we prayed into was this place and the people that would come to this place. The first point that came out in the prayer time was belong, a safe place that people could belong. The next thing that came out was greenhouse. It's a greenhouse, green building, the greenhouse. One of the surfy guys in our group said, oh, the green room. We should go to the green room, you know, all the surfing terms. It didn't grab much traction. We even then at that stage realized that our children's ministry might outgrow the upstairs area. And we'd need to be wary of looking for a new place for that. There was prayers about thanks for God's provision and the reminder that He is always our provider and will continue to be our provider no matter what. There was a prayer of patience. There was a prayer for the place for all ages. And we have been in leadership, we've been intentional of being a multi-generational church. Someone had a vision of happy faces during worship. And if that person is here today, they would have seen some happy faces during worship. I thought this morning was excellent. There was prayers around beauty for ashes, joy for mourning, that we might be the oaks of righteousness planted by God. There was prayer into the children's ministry in the area of playgroups. Now, we started playgroups for a little while, but we did start mainly music. And this July, we celebrate 10 years of mainly music in this building. Support groups, community groups. There was someone prayed about a lighthouse that shines into our community, and they saw that we would reach beyond our building into the community, into the schools and into the surf club. At that stage, we weren't in the surf club. The gospel will be proclaimed and souls will be saved and ministries will be birthed. There will be new ideas, new actions, and new dreams. Not a bad start to a prayer meeting, huh? 2 weeks later, on the 7th of September, we had our second prayer meeting. Six turned up. This one had more prayer on the area of the greenhouse, more prayer into us being a greenhouse. At the end of it, there was a section from Psalm 127, but unless the Lord builds the house, we are to be the rock in the sand. Whole bunch of prayer about Kiwana being built on the sand. It needs the rock, both community, physically and spiritually. Meeting every day people. And there was a word at the end of it which I wrote down, which I haven't looked at for many years. It says this: Jesus does not say go, but he stands before us as a church and says, come. I have gone before you, so come and see what I am doing. Come and be a part of me in the work in my community. That's pretty cool, that we would be in amongst what God is doing in our community. So there's a little bit of a flashback. Now, when you do a bit of a study on the word greenhouse, you'll find out that the word greenhouse is a building made with a purpose. A greenhouse doesn't just get put up for any rationale, but it has a specific purpose. Now, when I grew up, one of my favorite places to go for holidays was my grandmother's place. Now, between my grandma's house and Brunswick Heads was a little two-bedroom house. Next to it was a great big garage where she parked her Morris Minor, not a Mini, a Morris Minor. And there was a workbench for my granddad, who passed away when I was 7. And then beyond that was another room, and beyond that was the laundry. And we had one of those twin tub laundries. Remember that one? Yeah. Where you put it in, and they were great. Are you kidding me? My grandmother left that to me when I got married. That was not great. I didn't enjoy it. We didn't enjoy that washing machine, did we, honey? That's probably why it wasn't great. I didn't know how to use it. Spin, which one was that? Anyway. But my grandmother, between the two houses, two blocks, she built a greenhouse. Anyone ever done that? No? A couple of the older folk? Yep, I see that hand. Thank you very much. It's about 3 metres apart. But she did so much work in that area, section with green stuff in the roof and all that sort of stuff in between it, that when we arrived, you had to carry your bags like this because it was like walking through the Amazon jungle. She had so many ferns and bromelia, I didn't have a clue. She used to grab me as a little boy and take me through all the plants and say, now this is a such and such. This is a such and such. This is a, don't eat that one, that'll kill you. You know, all these plants. And I'm going, oh. And she was like, this is a Doggus bitus plant. You know, all these Latin terms would come out. And I'm going, Grandma, they're green plants. Well, red plants and orange plants. But she loved her greenhouse. She would work in there all the time. But that place had a purpose. There were little baby plants being grown. And when they got to a certain stage, she would take them out and transplant them into her garden. Her veggie garden was fantastic. Her veggie garden was so good that she made us say that if we hit the cricket ball off when we played cricket in her backyard into her veggie garden, it was six and out. Because you couldn't dive into it and hurt all her plants. She loved her plants. Greenhouses are also good for bringing in damaged plants that have been out in the yard, that have been hurt by a puppy who thinks biting bromeliads is a great game. This one he thought was quite a fun one because it had no real sharp edges. It's got one every inch or so. But thankfully for the other bromeliads, there is a bromeliad that has really sharp edge and lots of spines. And he tried to eat that one, and now he's a little bit wary about the bromeliads. But sometimes in the garden, we come across plants like this, don't we, that we've thrown away, and we think that's just useless. It's just a bunch of dead roots, and there's a dead stump here, and what life is left in that? And yet God can do amazing things, can't he? Not just in the greenhouse or not just in our gardens, but in our lives. When we've been damaged, when we've been thrown away by the world and all around us. The greenhouse is good for healing and restoring damaged plants. But a greenhouse is there for a purpose. And these plants are to bear fruit, to grow strong, and then be put back into the yard or wherever they're meant to be for their original intended purpose, to bring joy, grace, and love into people's lives. Now, over many years, we've seen ministry start in this place. And you'll have to come on the 23rd of July for us to concentrate on a whole bunch of those. But I'll mention a couple for you today. A number of years ago, in fact, in 2008, in January, we had a partnership conference just like we're having today. And at that partnership conference, 14 people from our church, all Pines trained as it turned out, left with Dean and Christine to plant a church over in Meriden. It's called Live Church, L-I-V-E, and that church is still going today, some 9 years later. Dean and Christine still do it, and for those that aren't aware, Christine has now become a registered Baptist pastor as well as Dean. So two pastors in that church continuing to reach and do things differently to us, very differently to us, but in their own way and with their own kind. As I've already shared, Money Music started up and amongst us 10 years later. Here we are. And this year we've started something called K2. Now, I'm praying into K2 and I'd like you to join with me and pray into it. I'd love to see K2 grow to about 50 people coming and sharing, because if you haven't been to K2, come along and check it out, just to check it out. The discussions that take place there are so life-giving and empowering. In this place, it's hard for you to say, put your hand up and say, can you explain that a bit more, Donnie? Because I'm keep moving on. But at K2, when James says something, you can say, hold on a sec, what does that mean? And there's probably four other people got other questions and things in amongst it all. And then there's small group activities. There's other activities that all take place in and through K2, all based around a nice meal to start with. And it's on a Wednesday night for those that have amazingly busy weekends. One of the couples that comes to K2 works their own businesses and do a whole bunch of stuff. So they work incredibly hard. And so a Wednesday night is a great place for them to connect with a bunch of other people who want to know more about Jesus. Sunday mornings and that, they're often all over the place. So I think it's a change in our culture and our community. And I think K2 could meet an amazing need and purpose for us as a church. Let's go back to our Bibles and keep reading from verse 45. Jesus explains and opens the scriptures for a purpose. Then he opened their minds so that they could understand the scriptures. This sounds like one amazing teaching and training time, don't you think? That Jesus himself is going through all the scriptures of the Old Testament, bringing them through and shining a light so that these disciples can know and understand what it is all about. And then he opens their minds that they can understand. And he says this, "This is what is written. The Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day. And repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in my name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses to all these things. I am going to send you what my Father has promised, the Holy Spirit. But stay in the city until you have been clothed with this power from on high. What is Jesus meeting with them for? They're not just having a good session together, are they? They're having a training day with a purpose. You are now my witnesses. You now know that you're to go and share about repentance and the forgiveness of sins. I'm going to leave you, but I'm not going to leave you alone, because the Father promised he'd send you the Holy Spirit. And when he sends the Holy Spirit, you won't go out in your own strength, but you'll go out in power to do what I am sending you to do. That's a good promise of the Holy Spirit, isn't it? A good promise from the Father. See, Jesus meets them and has a purpose. Some of the disciples may have been disillusioned. Some of the disciples might have looked a bit like this. And here's Jesus planting into their lives and saying, there is life in this. I see great purpose in this plant, in this disciple, in this person, in this church. Out of this dead stump, I will bring new life. Now, serious, this was one of my favorite plants. Isn't it a beautiful plant? When we bought that plant, I thought, yeah, I know just where I'm going to plant that. And I planted it in the wrong place. The sun destroyed it. I watered it. I fertilized it. But it was the wrong place. And it died. And if you can be heartbroken over a plant dying, I was. But when I pulled it out, I could see the roots were still good. So I grabbed some fresh potting mix and fresh fertilizer, and I went and planted it into an area that is like my greenhouse, a place that I put plants for a purpose of bringing them back to life. And it has. And I can't wait to get a new pot for it and put it in the right place, because it's such a gorgeous thing. Do you ever wonder that God, the greener, looks at you the same way? And he sees the hurt and the pain and the damage in your life and says, I just can't wait to let, if you let me prune, if you let me get in there and get rid of some of this hurt and pain and get it out of your life, because I've created you with a purpose. And there are people out there who need to know about my love for them, and you're part of it. And I'm going to make you look beautiful and put you into a place where people will go, I want to look like that. I want a bit of that. Oh, that is a good plan. I like what God's doing in that person. This is not a new thing, folks. Becoming is not a new thing. One thing that I have not done very much of, if at all, here at Kiwana Life, is a benediction or a doxology. Anyone know a doxology we used to sing? What was it? Dot. Now unto him? Yes. Oh, did you have another one, did you? Oh, praise God from whom all blessings. That sounds good. That's a good way to go out, praising God from all the blessings that flow. Yeah. Let me share with you the early church, when they wrote letters, sent the people out. You hear what I'm saying? They didn't just send you the letter and say, now just sit here for the next 20 weeks and dissect this letter. At the end of the letter, it was all about, let me share with you Romans chapter 15, reading verse 5. May the God who gives endurance and encouragement, who needs endurance and encouragement in this world and day and age? I do. Oh boy, do I what? Anyway, I won't go there. Give you the same attitude of mind toward each other that Christ has had. Boy, do we need that, don't we? To have the same attitude that Christ has to us, that we could have it with one another. So that with one mind and with one voice, you may glorify God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. May the God of hope fill you with all joy, peace, as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Now that's a good way to go out into the world, isn't it? That's excellent. Let's have another quick look at one. We won't do them all because there's lots. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 14 says, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. So being empowered as you leave the building, going out in the power of the Trinity, working in and through me, that it is about the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, that I might know these different aspects of my mighty God. Ephesians 3, this is one of my favorites. I've preached on this a number of times. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than we all ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be the glory in the church in Christ Jesus through all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Go into the week. That's another great way to go into the week, into what God has got for us. Hebrews chapter 13. Now, may the God of grace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, equip you with everything good for doing his will, and may he work in us what is pleasing to him through Jesus Christ, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen. Now, I don't know about you, but when I read that one, it sounded like this. Jesus does not say go, but he stands before us as a church and says, come, for I have gone before you. Come and see what I am doing. Come and be a part with me in my community. Sounds like that. I know that's not that. That's more important, but that just sounded good for us as a church. I'll finish with one more and then I'll close in prayer. To him who is able to keep you from stumbling, to present you before his glorious presence without fault, and with great joy. To the only God, our Savior, be glory, majesty, power, and authority through Jesus Christ our Lord, before all ages, now and forevermore. Amen. In fact, I just did pray. God bless you. Have a good day.